Welcome back. Our guest is multi award-winning journalist Ted Koppel. We're talking with him about a subject near and dear to my heart, and now evidently very much near and dear to his, and it should be, in fact, to all of us. It will affect our future in the most dramatic way if it goes bad. His book is called Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared, Surviving the Aftermath. And Ted, you've laid out very nicely the vulnerabilities of the grid. There's another one we won't have time to get into today, of this solar storm or geomagnetic disturbance piece. But I would like to ask you about how we got here, how we got to a point where something that is so indispensable, the most critical of critical infrastructures, the electric grid of the United States, is really so exposed to these various sorts of threats. What's your sense of that?
Well, as you know, Frank, until fairly recently, there was almost no regulation governing the electric power grids and the electric power industry. And even to this day, and we're going to get into a little, acronym game here with FERC and NERC, NERC being the North American Electric Reliability Council, that's the industry group, and FERC being the federal organization that, in theory, has some control. In reality, it's a lot less than it seems to be. We have a curious situation here where the industry has to approve by a two-thirds majority proposals for legislation made by the federal agency. So we have this extraordinary situation where an industry decides just what regulations it's willing to accept.
But, you know, when you say that, Ted, I think most people will think, if they know anything of our history, back to, the trust-busting era when we decided that self-regulating industries was really not a good plan. How could we possibly be allowing this to happen with this one that is so absolutely critical to our survival?
Well, what's happened with the deregulation of the industry from a commercial point of view, as is so often the case, deregulation does lead to market forces taking control. But as a result of deregulating the electric power industry, we now have 3,200 electric power companies out there. The big ones are relatively well protected. Nobody is perfectly protected, but they spend a great deal of money on cybersecurity. The smaller ones do not, and all of them are interconnected, so that if someone gets into one of these smaller power companies and they have spent, and I don't want to make it sound too easy, as you know, Frank, an attack on the power grid, at least a cyber attack, is a terribly complicated piece of work. But the Chinese are inside the grid, the Russians are inside the grid, they have the capacity to take down all or part of the grid, quite literally at a moment's notice.
There was a report conducted by one of the outfits that does sort of forensic reverse hacking called Cylance back in the fall of last year. And they said the Iranians were inside our grid as well. And I'm assuming the North Koreans are if they are. So this is really a yawning problem. And I guess what you're saying, if I understand you rightly, is that the utilities have optimized for profit, obviously, but also to provide reliable power. And they do a pretty darn good job of that when all is said and done, the odd storm notwithstanding. It's just that they've never been required or even really incentivized to provide resiliency as well. Is that right?
Well, they would argue that they have resiliency, but I would say to you, because of the 3,200 companies, what people need to understand about the generation and delivery of electric power is there has to be a perfect balance between the amount of electricity that is generated and the amount of electricity that is delivered and used. The only thing that is capable of maintaining that kind of perfect balance in this day and age with that many different companies is the internet. And the internet, as you well know, was never designed to be protected. It's almost impossible to superimpose on a mechanism like the internet, which was never designed to be defended, a perfect defense.
Again, our guest is Ted Koppel, a journalist of great renown. I'm recommending for the Medal of Freedom for his new book, Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared and Surviving the Aftermath. Ted, one of the things that I'm happy to report is that we have had a piece of legislation that bears on all of this approved by the House of Representatives just the day before yesterday. It is the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act. It would go some way to getting us started on the process of figuring out what our vulnerabilities are in this area and taking corrective action. It's more of, again, a strategy for going there rather than actually doing it. But one of the things that you focus on at some length in the book is preparedness. And I'd like to ask you about that. Is it, at the end of the day, possible, given what you now know about the horrific consequences, societal as well as for many, many millions of us, of the grid going down and staying down for any length of time, possible really adequately to prepare for such a contingency?
Well, the key word, of course, as you know, Frank, is adequately. But the fact of the matter is the mere act of preparation. Let me take you back to something in which you have a great deal of personal experience, the nuclear balance between the United States and the Soviet Union. You know that during the 1950s and into the 60s, all kinds of preparations were made in this country, which in the final analysis and in the Soviet Union were pointless. The plans for evacuation, the plans for bomb shelters. The mere fact that we came to the conclusion, we and the Soviets, that those plans would not work led ultimately to what we now have, this program of mutual assured destruction, where there is this balance of terror, which sounds terrible, but has kept the world from any kind of nuclear war for more than half a century now.
Well, this is a subject for a much longer conversation, if you'll indulge me, but I think what you're calling for in your book, if not in so many words, is really a return, both to personal responsibility for preparedness, but also an effort to be made by the society in light of what the stakes are here. But really, my guess is when all is said and done, Ted Koppel, we're going to have to address seriously how we prevent such a nightmare from befalling us rather than try to remediate our way out of it should it happen.
I think we have to do both, Frank. I think it would be naive in the extreme. I mean, you began to list, in addition to the Chinese and the Russians, those who might be in the grid, and you added the Iranians. And as you go down the list of those countries, as we have fewer and fewer common interests, we do have common interests with the Chinese. We even have common interests with the Russians. None at all with a group like ISIS. When you have a group like ISIS launching a cyber attack against any part of the U.S. infrastructure, I think you have to be prepared, not only in terms of trying to prevent it from happening, but proactively dealing with the consequences in the event that they succeed. I would like to make just one further point. I don't know whether your politics and mine are the same. I would like to suggest that in this particular interest, the vulnerability of the power grid, it should not be a partisan issue. It shouldn't be conservatives versus liberals, Democrats versus Republicans. It's critically important that we come to realize that whatever differences we may have, we have a common interest in securing the grid insofar as that is possible and preparing for the likelihood that it will be attacked.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. In fact, I call this the ultimate transpartisan issue, and keeping it from getting into the ditch of partisan politics is a full-time job, but it's one that's been made considerably easier by this really signal contribution you've made. Ted Koppel, Lights Out, A Cyber Attack, A Nation Unprepared, Surviving the Aftermath. I don't know if my recommendation will get you anywhere near a Medal of Freedom, but I'm going to continue to pursue it. Thank you, sir, for your time. And next up, we'll talk with a congressman who's been working hard on this problem, Congressman Randy Weber from the great state of Texas, right after this.